Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffat, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. Good morning, Dr. Jasek. How are you today?
I am doing great, Dee Dee. How are you doing?
Good. We miss you. We missed you here.
I was out playing. We're trying to get some camping trips in here before the summer's gone, which it's winding down really, really quickly.
I know. And, you know, one thing that's great that you have really shown to me is that, look, you can have a thriving business and you don't have to be chained to it. You got to get out and get into nature, get some serenity, get some downtime. You take that very seriously because it's important for your immune system, right?
Yeah, important for my immune system and for my mental health. You know, our work is challenging, you know, and it takes a lot out of you. And if you don't take a step back, I mean, I've done that before where I just work and it doesn't turn out very well. It's being a very grumpy person.
Yeah, no, I get it. And it's equally as hard. If you work with the public, and we work with the public's tough. Public's tough today. Yeah. Everybody's got, you know, short fuses. We've just got a lot of stuff on us, a lot of fear coming down the pike. There's a lot of things that are happening. You know, I heard, Dr. Jasek, this is the craziest thing. And I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but that the CDC actually has let me just read it to you. It says that the CDC announces COVID intermittent camps for every city. So this means that they're going to have these COVID concentration camps to be put up. And they're going to rip, as it says, their families from their homes to be imprisoned by the CDC. What? How does the CDC have the power to imprison anybody?
They don't. And you know, part of me really wonders if this is just all, you know, fear tactics to get more and more people to get the jab.
Yeah, very, very frightening. So this makes people on edge, makes people not so nice sometimes, right? Because they're scared to death. They don't know what's happening. But here's the deal. I heard somebody the other day say this, and I so believe it. As I look in our business and you look at what's happening in the world with inflation, shipping supply problems, that sort of thing, you either are going to fight back or we're not going to have freedom at all. So this is our time, right? You have to fight back. We have to take a stand. Because if we lose our country, Dr. Jasek, I mean, no matter how afraid you are, are you going to be more afraid when you can't do anything, right? Maybe when you're in these camps with the CDC. This is coming from brightdeon.com. So if you guys want to listen to that and, you know, check it out for yourselves, It says they're found right there. It's published by the CDC. So that's frightening if they've actually gone down the road of actually publishing it. And the thing about it is that you guys got to remember, we are heading very quickly into what we deem as flu season. So You want to get your immune system up as high as you can. All right. Stop drinking, smoking, eating cereal, which, by the way, one of the things that we're going to talk about today is premixes, because kibble food is pretty much like cereal.
Right. Okay. Don't feed your dog cereal either.
Right. It's just crap. And we're going to tell you why here in a second. But first, we want to say thank you to Ann for sending us this email. And we're going to answer your questions today, Ann. So here it is, Dr. Jasek. The question is about doggy daycare and vaccines. All right. So this is, people are traveling. going camping, going out of town. Dogs are going into the daycare. Here's what she says, though. She says her dog got her core vaccines as a puppy, but since then they've done yearly titer testing, to which we would say, very good. Way to go, Anne. That's a great thing. Yep. All right. Now, she says she doesn't get the Bordetella vaccine, but if she put her in the daycare, she knows that she's going to be required to do that. She says her dog goes to the office with her every day, but that she feels that doggy daycare once or twice a week would benefit her mentally and physically. Okay, I would agree with that. But here's her question. If this doggy daycare happens to accept titer testing, should she be concerned to have her dog around large group of dogs? Because she questions, could she be at a higher risk of exposure to distemper, parvo, or adenovirus? That's part of the email. We'll stop right there and get your answer. I mean, I would say no, Dr. Jasek, and I'm going to see what you say. I would say no, because she's already had her puppy shots, right? And so the question is, could she be at higher risk of exposure to distemper, parvo, and adenovirus? I don't see how, even if she's around a larger group of dogs. What say you, Dr. Jasek?
No, I don't think so at all. I don't think the dog is at a higher risk. And if it's had its puppy shots and she's verified that it has immunity, then the dog should be protected. And, you know, these diseases, especially parvo and distemper, they're mostly puppy diseases. They're very rare in adult dogs, especially adult dogs that are on a fresh food diet. So they're being supported with really good nutrition and all the things we talk about. Her dog is probably going to be just fine. And, you know, on the Bordetella vaccine, there's not a titer test for that. But one thing I recommend is there's a homeopathic NoSote, which is a oral homeopathic vaccination. And this is what I've been dispensing to my clients who are in this situation where they want to take their dog to daycare or they need to board and they want to be ready in case they have to board last minute notice. We dispense the Bordetella NoSotes. And then on the invoice, we just put Bordetella inoculation. And I tell people, don't ask if the facility you're going to accepts NoSotes. Just say, my dog's had the Bordetella, you know, and most places will accept it. Because if you ask them, they're not going to know what they are, and they're probably going to say no. But if you have this invoice that says Bordetella inoculation, which is what we put on it, which it's true, it's a way of, you know, vaccinating or, you know, providing this protection. Most facilities are accepting that just fine. So just FYI, that's a little workaround on the Bordetella.
So let me ask you a question. So I think sometimes we say vaccination, even though it's coming through a pill form, is that correct? Or is vaccination always going to be with a needle?
Well, I would say it's not always with a needle. I mean, even the whole, like in my mind, the definition of a vaccine is you give something that stimulates an immune response. So like one of the conventional Bordetella vaccines is it goes up the nose, and there's an oral one too. There's actually an oral conventional vaccine for Bordetella as well, but it's got the more conventional, you know, vaccine components in it, and still not really good for your dog. It has fewer side effects, I think, giving it in the mouth, but they consider those vaccines, and they're given up the nose or orally. So I think a vaccine could be considered anything that, you know, stimulates an immune response. NoSodes are a little different because homeopathy works more on the energetic level. So it's a little different concept. It's basically building more of an energetic immunity rather than a biologic one where you can actually measure the antibodies. So it's a little different, a little confusing, but it's been proven to work. I mean, we've talked about this before. There's, you know, holistic veterinarians, Dr. Cooney, he doesn't do any conventional vaccines in his practice except for rabies. And he's not seeing his patients get sicker and sicker, they're just fine and they're protected and they're not getting these diseases. So this isn't something you can do just to get out of the vaccine. It does actually work and does actually provide protection.
Are they suppressing his information? Just kidding. Yeah. Come on, we're gonna suppress all that stuff that works. All right. So her next part of this question does happen to deal with antibodies. So she says, for instance, let's say her antibodies happen to be fairly low. Could she catch one of the viruses? Those viruses, distemper, parvo, and no virus. As long as she's above the minimum level of antibodies, if she came in contact with an infected dog, would she in theory be protected due to her natural immunity? Now, let me stop right there.
Yeah, the test that I run, so I send my titer test directly to Kansas State, and it's a three-way, and it gives you values for distemper, parvo, and adenovirus separately, so that if a dog is low in one and we choose to booster, then we can focus on just those components. I don't honestly worry too much about the adenovirus. I just don't think that's a very prevalent virus anymore. I don't see it being a problem for dogs. So I don't worry about that level. And I only vaccinate for parvo and distemper and rabies if people, you know, are keeping their dogs current on rabies. And I do the monovalent vaccine. So we can just booster, you know, one component depending on what they might be low on. But it's also important to remember, and this has been brought up by Ron Schultz, who is an immunologist. I think he's retired now. He did a lot of research on immunology and the, you know, do dogs really need booster shots? And he determined definitively no, because the immunity that is stimulated, you know, in the young dog, when you get these vaccines and you verify that, yep, they've mounted a response to the vaccine, doesn't go away. So the lab puts numbers on this. Like, we want to see it above a certain level, but how do you know? Like, how do you really know what's protective? The thing that we're not testing for is the dog's ability to respond to a challenge. So sometimes a dog, you know, you give a vaccine, they can mount a good antibody response, and then they're never exposed to that virus. You know, say something like distemper. I haven't seen a case of canine distemper in a dog in Colorado in over 20 years. It's almost non-existent outside of you'll hear about a few cases from the rescues, you know, where dogs are coming from other areas and they're bringing stray dogs in. It's extremely rare. So if the body's never exposed to that particular antigen, it doesn't need those antibodies. So it's not going to keep producing them. However, what Ron Schultz showed that is that even with real low levels, if that dog is challenged, so it then gets exposed to that virus, the body is going to amp up production of those antibodies and protect the dog. So if we have a zero response, which I have seen, but it's pretty rare that you just get like no response at all to a vaccine, then, you know, depending on how you feel about doing vaccines, you might want to do a booster, that component, or I ask the question, why didn't this dog respond? And maybe we need to be doing more things to support the immune system, because that's going to keep the dog healthy in other ways. But pretty much any response at all to the vaccine indicates that that dog's likely going to be able to respond in the face of a challenge. So if I see cases, like I do a titer test and the values are kind of border, like right on the borderline and what the lab says is acceptable, I say those dogs are fine. If they're rock bottom low, then, you know, we would have a discussion about possibly doing a booster. But I guess my point is, don't get hung up just on the number to understand the biology. And I think if we can demonstrate any response at all in the face of a challenge, that dog's probably going to be fine. And the other thing to think about is the really bad diseases, the parvo and distemper, the two that I think are really legitimate, potentially life-threatening risks to dogs because they're very serious viruses. You know, daycare is going to know these dogs that have these get really sick. This isn't a casual spreading, right? Like, you know, the dog's going to act perfectly fine, but it's going to have one of these deadly viruses. They're going to know the dog's sick and they're not going to let them in the facility. So I honestly think this person, you know, is concerned about daycare. I think for an active dog that loves to socialize, I think the mental benefits of getting that dog into a daycare 2 or 3 times a week and just to let them social, as long as they enjoy it. I mean, not all dogs enjoy daycare. If your dog goes to daycare and sits in the corner and doesn't interact, they're probably not enjoying themselves. But for these dogs that love to be social and love to interact, but I think we got to remember the mental health and the benefit that that has to that dog's immune system. It can get out there and blow off some steam and play. And, you know, you come home from work and you got a nice tired dog. There's a lot of benefit in that. So I wouldn't, you know, neglect to give your dog those benefits because, you know, we're worried about, you know, these diseases, which I think would be really quite a minimal risk in this scenario.
Well, we don't know if these dogs are being othered, Dr. Jasek. Sit in the corner. You've not had all your vaccines.
Okay. The unvaxxed. Yeah, pretty soon they're going to be dividing up the daycares, right?
Yeah,
the doggy
right.
daycares.
You stay over there.
Backside,
you other.
Unvaccinated.
Okay, so here is the last part of her question. So she said, as a side question, do core vaccines shed? So if her dog is around, mm-hmm. a dog who was recently vaccinated, could she be at higher risk of exposure to the viruses the dog was vaccinated for?
Well, they do shed. I mean, that's a, you know, kind of a known thing with vaccines as the body responds to the antigen, it can spread the antigen and that. But it's not likely to be disease producing. Like I've never ever heard of a dog getting sick from being exposed to antigens from other dogs that have had a vaccine. I do think it could provide some immunity, some natural immunity though. So, you know, say you had a puppy and you really were reluctant to vaccinate, but you knew a bunch of people with adult dogs that are all healthy and current on their vaccines. If you get that puppy around those adult dogs that have had all those vaccines, they can sometimes shed enough antigen for the puppy to mount a response to that. So that can actually be indirectly sort of a good thing.
Awesome. So she says, well, look, my dog is on a raw diet and we live a very, in quote, raw dog food truth lifestyle. No chemicals or fragrances in our home, no processed treats or food. And she said, thanks for your time. Love listening to your podcast every week. Thanks for bringing so many important things to light and speaking the truth. Thank you, Anne. We so appreciate that email. Listen, you guys can send us questions and we will answer them here on the Raw Dog Food Truth. Just email us at info@rawdogfoodandco.com. All right. So Dr. Jasek, I don't know if you heard about this. I got this yesterday. Watchdog report says that Anthony Fauci spent nearly $500,000 in taxpayer dollars on abusive experiments on dogs. So here's what he did. Now, you know, I have a problem. I wish that they would ask us whether they could use our taxpayer money for things that they do, but they don't. But here's what he said. Listen up, peeps with beagles. I think beagles, why is it beagles seem to be the test dog? Right.
I don't know how they got started with that breed. I think they're just, maybe they're pretty easygoing and they must take well to confinement and I don't know, but they're also bred very differently. Like this is where like I have issue with a lot of, you know, when they say they've, you know, done studies on drugs or vaccines or whatever, and they've done them on these beagle colonies. Those dogs are really genetically the same as dogs out in the real world. I think they're bred for specific reasons and specific genetics, but I'm guessing it. Part of that is that, you know, beagles are pretty, you know, pretty low key and, you know, put up with literally more abuse than
they don't
maybe fight. Some other breeds. Yeah.
Right. They don't fight back on being locked up and confined. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't be a beagle. All right. So here's the thing.
I like that. We need that t-shirt. Don't be a beagle.
You're right. People would be like, what does that mean? But here's what happened. So they infested beagles with this parasite carrying flies. A parasite carrying flies, even though this procedure had already been extensively tested on other animals. There's a group out there called White Coat Waste Project. White Coat Waste Project. You guys can take a look at this. But according to documents that they got from the Freedom of Information Act, he spent about $500,000 to commission a study in which healthy beagles were given an experimental drug and then intentionally infested with flies that carry a disease-causing parasite that affects humans. Okay, so I don't know. This is stuff, but they really allow these beagles to develop these infections for 3 months before being euthanized for their blood collection. So, So anyway,
it's brutal.
So anyway, just thought that that was interesting. I don't like to read about the dog studies. And some people might say, well, we've got to do studies for humans.
Yeah, but we're not dogs.
No.
So how do we make that correlation? I'm not a beagle.
You sure?
So last I checked.
If you were a dog, what would you be?
I'd be a German Shepherd.
Oh, there you go.
I'd be tough.
Don't tell your little chihuahuas that.
I know. I keep it a secret, but let me tell you, chihuahuas are they're pretty high maintenance. They would not do well in the research setting because there'd be way too much drama all the time.
They'd be biting your hands. I was walking down the street. So we live up here in the mountains and everybody walks. We call it the circle, right? It's like a mile around. And there was this little dog. He comes running out and he's a little herder. I don't know what this little dog is, but I mean, I was quickening my steps as he was right on my heels. I was thinking he was going to bite my little heels, and I'm not afraid of dogs at all, but I was like, this little guy, he's going to like nip me. These little dogs, you know, but I just think that's bred into them. Dr. Jason, think about it. They're like, I'm in a world with all these big people and big dogs. I got to act big. So I think that we should take a cue, from these little guys, you know, act big, show your teeth, push back,
be tough. You got to push up, you know, people, you know, taking your pets into conventional vet clinics, you know, it's the same thing. You got to start pushing back. People, you know, tell me these horrible stories about, you know, treatments being done without their authorization or vaccines being pushed or, you know, being berated for feeding raw. Stand up and say, where are you getting this evidence? You know, what right do you have to tell me that I'm a bad pet parent if I don't vaccinate my pet? You know, give them a hard time, you know, not, you know, to get belligerent or violent, but give them a hard time, push back, make them stop and think. You know, I think whenever anybody in an authority position is just allowed to, you know, make recommendations and people just roll over, they're going to keep doing that. You got to start pushing back and advocate for your pets.
Yeah. And what we have started doing, and probably you are doing the same thing, is when we get these claims or these statements from a traditional vet, we say, well, go back and go ahead and get the information, send us the correlating documents, and we will take a look at it. Here's an example. So one of our customers, and I don't know why this dog was at the vet. I have no idea, but maybe it's because, you know, the dog had some hard poops, which is something that, you know, people are constantly talking about, these hard poops. I'm not sure why. And, you know, I think there's some confusion that people see a lot less poops than they see the poops dry, white. And they're like, oh my gosh, my dog's constipated. Okay. We've talked about that a million times. Not necessarily so, but it's super easy to fix, you guys, if you're uncomfortable with the kind of poop that your dog's pooping out, right? Add some organs, add some tripe. You're going to be fine.
I actually got a, you know, I get people send me, you know, poop pictures all the time because it's a big thing. People get worried about, you know, the poop. Well, somebody sent a video the other day so that I could actually see, and they would kind of crumble the poop so I could actually get a better idea of the actual texture and all that. So
how was it?
That was, I thought looked pretty good for like a pretty good, normal, you know, raw poop. I don't know why people think that poop should not be kind of dry and crumbly, you know, like that's normal. Maybe they're just used to seeing kibble poops, but you know, as long as it's not diarrhea and as long as they're not straining to poop, they're fine. They're supposed to be small and white and crumbly when they're eating a raw diet.
Right. And those poops vary. If we give a lot of raw meaty bones, or our dogs consume a, you know, more bone than they usually do, the next day their poops are going to be different. Okay. So, so good. I'm glad that you're getting the poop patrol. But here was something that came from a vet. And so one of our customers said, the vet said that my dog's poop had a sandy material in it, and it could only have come from the diet.
Hmm.
So mm-hmm. We don't add sand to the food. But I said, well, tell you what, let's go ahead and get that information from the vet and how they determined that and what that was. And we'll have a look-see. But I never heard anything back.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, were they just seeing the ground bone? And since that was also a foreign concept to veterinarians, like what a poop is supposed to look like when there are eating ground bone in it, and just thought it was sand because they couldn't think of anything else. I swear, just medical practitioners, they just make stuff up. I swear they just like, they don't know what it is. So they make something up. They don't know what's going on, but oh, well, they're feeding raw. Well, then we better, you know, must be the raw food. Well, I mean, and come on, like something's in the stool. Yeah. Of course it's something the dog ate because it's the only way it could get there.
Right.
So like,
I don't know. Does your dog eat dirt? I mean, dogs eat dirt, but I pretty much think that was a bone issue. Right. That was just bone.
Sounds like it.
Speaking of bones, Dr. Jasek, here we have a new solution for pet parents who are totally afraid of bone. We have a product called Better Bones.
The bone phobics.
I'm telling you. And you know, over the years, really, truly, the reason that things change, right? So people talk about this HPP. Like, why do we have mm-hmm. HPP? Well, it's because people have so much fear. Right. And then the FDA walks in and they, you know, are banging on your doors and threatening you and causing recalls and all this kind of stuff. So what do manufacturers do? Well, they're not going to go out of business. So they're going to sell into your fear. Right. They're going to say, well, yeah. You know what? If pet parents are afraid of real raw because they're afraid of salmonella, they're afraid of bacteria, they're afraid of E. coli. And we don't have any pets that are dying of that. But hey, let's be afraid of it anyway. Let's just make a product that has nothing in, that's totally dead, right? It's HPP. You know, it looks raw, but hey, we don't have to worry about it. Is that the best thing for your dog? No. So you want all these great things for your pet. You demand great things for your pet, and you should. But the problem is that when you don't do your research, you cause yourself and your pets a lot more harm, because the manufacturers are going to sell you things that you believe in that may not be true. Right? I mean, that's just what they do.
They sell based on fear. I mean, I've seen this, you know, for years. They sell, the pharmaceutical companies sell to veterinarians based on fear. Well, if you don't give these vaccines and your patients are going to get sick from these diseases, and then you could get sued for being negligent. And, you know, they sell to the vets based on fear, and then the vets sell to the people based on fear. They know how to play to your emotions. So that's so important to be educated, know, you know, how these foods are processed, and know the differences, and know what you're feeding your pet, and stand your ground, make up your mind and stand your ground and ask questions when you get pushback, because so much of this, as we've talked about, the dangers of raw and the bacteria in raw and all of that, it has no basis whatsoever. So you start asking questions. You know, it's just like, you know, this is a human example. I don't know if you heard, Didi, about that guy up in Alberta that got fined for some COVID violation. He was out somewhere where he shouldn't be, and he went to court and he subpoenaed their health minister up there for direct proof that this human coronavirus actually exists, and they could not produce it because they never have. It's never been isolated. They have no definitive proof that this virus even exists. And he won his court case. Not only did he win his court case, they removed all mandates and lockdowns and everything up there in Alberta, because then they had nothing to stand on. So just, you know, asking for information can be pretty powerful if the person you're asking can't produce it.
I totally agree. And I think that some people may, you know, hear our podcast and wonder why we take the stance that we do. Well, because we're damn well educated. We research. Right. We research and research and research. So that may be why we take a stance. And I'm sorry if information is suppressed, but if I can get the information, you can get the information too. Okay. That's right. Just, you know.
Get out there and look for it.
Yeah, it is there. It is there. Now, I will say that they are working very hard to shut all that down, which is frightening. I always relay it back to this, Dr. Jasek. If you didn't have access, listeners, to raw dog food information, I want you to ask yourself this question. Could you be doing your dog harm? Could you be over vaccinated? Could you be feeding crappy kibble? Dr. Jessica came up with a new term last week on the podcast that I did by myself. It's called crappy kibble syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Crappy kibble syndrome. So it's CKS. CKS. Okay. So you would have CKS and not even know it. I mean, if you did not have access to this information. So the question is, if information is suppressed, could you be doing harm to yourself? And the answer would be absolutely. All right. So I want to tell you about Dr. Jasek, this new product that we have. It's called Better Bones. Okay. Better Bones. But this is going to be for the pet parents. I think you could use this a couple of different ways. You can give it to the puppies who are, some pet parents get their puppies at 8 weeks, right? They're just weaned. So let's say 8 to 12 weeks, you could use this, maybe a toothless dog, or for the pet parents that are totally afraid of feeding bones. Now, I will say that we are in total favor of real bone, and this is real bone, but it is a convenient powder form that you can add to the food. So we have some boneless blends and you can add this to the food. But, you know, real bone contains calcium, phosphorus, zinc, vitamin D, magnesium, and the sources of calcium like eggshells, seaweed, you know, those don't contain phosphorus. So that makes it really hard to balance your dog's minerals, okay? So bones also contain amino acids, growth factors that are missing in other sources of calcium, okay? So this is called Better Bones. It is dried beef bone, grass-fed. Cool. Yeah, grass-fed and pastured from Australian cattle. Now, I have a question for you, Dr. Jasek, about this. So some pet parents say, well, my dog is allergic to beef. All right. They say, my dog's allergic to beef. The question is, do you think that this product, which contains dried beef bone from BSE-free, grass-fed, and pastured Australian cattle, could cause an allergic reaction?
You know, I think it's unlikely. And part of the reason I say that is I think actually true food allergies are not all that common. We've talked about that. So if, you know, sometimes we can make this direct correlation between a certain protein and a breakout in symptoms. But if they're feeding, say, a beef blend, they're getting a lot more, I think a lot more antigen, more proteins, more different things in, say, beef. So say there was a true reaction to beef, there's going to be a lot more, I think, antigenic stimulation from the proteins and the muscle meat and the organs and all that than there would be from the bone, because the bone is much more inert. I mean, once you have ground bone, you're down to basically the mineral content, and you don't have those other meat proteins that I think would be much more likely to cause a reaction. Now, that being said, every pet is different. So if you're going to introduce this product and your dog's reacted to beef in the past, then it goes slowly, you know, just add in a little bit of the powder and slowly work up to whatever the recommended amount is. But I think this is a great idea to just feed, you know, the ground bone rather than trying to supplement with synthetic minerals or, you know, eggshells, which isn't, you know, a balanced mineral supplement for dogs. So I think this is a great idea. And I think even if there's been a reaction to beef, go ahead and give it a try. You know, I also find that some dogs that, you know, we transition to raw that have a history of really messed up digestion. So, you know, sensitive to this, sensitive to that, you know, having a whole, you know, history of issues, they don't seem to tolerate all the proteins the same right off the bat. I don't think that means they're necessarily allergic. There's just a lot about this biology that we don't completely understand. So I always roll with, what are the proteins that agree the best with the dog initially? Let's just roll with that. The ones they like to eat, the ones that got good, healthy poops. And then over time, you slowly start to reintroduce the new proteins. And what I see is as their digestion gets stronger and healthier, the longer they're on the raw, then over time, you can start to introduce these other proteins. So I think people should be careful, you know, not to fall into this trap that, well, my dog had a reaction to beef once, so it's going to be allergic to beef for the rest of its life. It's not necessarily the case. And if, you know, you were feeding processed foods with beef in them, you know, kibble, canned, or HPP or something, those proteins are going to be denatured and your dog could react to those way more than the protein in a raw fed diet. So, you know, don't get completely hung up on this whole allergy thing that it's forever. I talk to people sometimes that they're convinced their dogs are allergic to so many things that they run out of things to feed them. And I think there's way more to the picture than that. We need to be, you know, looking at healing the gut and all those things. But I would, you know, definitely give this product a try, because I would suspect it would be probably pretty inert.
Well, here's the one thing that I don't know about this product is I do not know what the consistency of poops are going to be.
Right.
Okay. I do not know what the consistency of the poops are going to be. Are the poops going to be nice and firm like the products with real bone? It's something I don't know yet. So we're going to have to check it out and see. Okay. So, but for those of you that are totally, totally frightened of bones, we try to encourage you not to be, because you know what? Dogs are really smart. And if God wanted them to eat something other than bones, he would, you know, if he didn't want them to eat bones, I should say, he would have made their teeth a lot different. That's my thought on that. I mean, they know how to eat bones, and dogs mm-hmm. are gulpers. I don't care. They're going to try to gulp whatever they can. Come on. People are like, well, my dog doesn't chew. They gulp. I get it. That's the way they're made.
That's normal dog behavior. I mean, I get that question all the time too. And people will buy these little mats and stuff. So it makes the dogs eat slower, and you know, that makes the people feel better. That's fine, but they're really fully equipped to gulp down their meal. And when it's a fresh, highly digestible meal, like a raw meal, that's fine. They gulp down three cups of kibble and then go drink a bunch of water and sits in their stomach and expands. That can cause problems. But the raw diet, it you know, really, really doesn't. I think, you know, I think this bone thing too with people is people equate, you know, what they think about bones to cooked bones, because that's what, you know, people have. You know, you've all, you know, you hear these things about, oh, chicken bones are so bad. Well, yeah, if they're cooked and they're brittle, or even, you know, steak bones or things like that, those bones are, you know, very brittle. It's not the same as feeding a raw bone. So I think sometimes people look at, you know, these bone pieces that they find and equate that to, you know, the leftover chicken bones are in the garbage that a dog ate one time and it made them sick. Cause yeah, those will make them sick, but raw bones are very, very different. You know, they're pliable and they have this moisture content, and they just don't, I don't actually think the bones cause a problem at all. I think if dogs are vomiting up the raw or the bone, then it just means their digestion is weak, probably because it's been hammered by so many other treatments, and we need to work on strengthening the digestion. It's not necessarily the problem of the bone. However, if people feel better with a bone powder, then so be it. At least it's a good alternative. At least it'll help keep dogs on the raw food.
So I have a vomit story for you.
Oh, goody. Love yeah. those.
So I fed Asta and Lazi, right? They were fed, all good. Well, enter my husband, who we had these salmon burgers. Our daughter, who, you know, just got out of chiropractic school, who's a vet, they were here with the babies and everything. So anyway, she was fixing these salmon patties. They had a ton of salmon skin left over, a ton, to which my husband fed both my dogs. Okay, both our dogs, I should say. The salmon skin. Well, first Asta threw up and he let her eat it back. Then I took Lazi out, for the nighttime poop around, poop time. And she threw up all of her food, to which I did not let her re-eat it. Cause I was like, yeah, it's going to take care. Let's just come on. And first of all, it was salmon. Now, if it's just raw food, I'm probably going to let them eat it. Right. But it was like the salmon skin all on top of that. And there's a lot of oil in that, a lot of fat. Anyway, I came back in and I said, okay, Lazi just threw up her food too. No more salmon skin. Right. So I don't immediately go back to the raw because I've been doing this for far too long. But I said, no more, you know, don't do the salmon skin anymore, or at least not on top of the raw food or whatever. He said, did you let her eat the food? I said, no, I didn't. And he took her back out and let her eat it. He goes, that was her dinner. And I said, okay, here's the deal, Rick. I said, we're going to bed. If either one of these dogs throw up in our bedroom, you're cleaning it up. Okay, that's fine. They're not going to throw up. I don't see them throw up twice. Okay. All righty. We got, so we get in bed and went, he literally goes over and catches it in his hands, right?
Oh, God.
And he said, can you open the door so I can put, okay. So he did that. Then there came another. And so he took Lazi outside. He got her outside. But then Asta did it. And I heard her, and Rick was in a dead sleep, right? So women, we jump up. We hear that. Nothing gets us up faster than the regurgitations.
Yeah, right.
Right. So I flip on the light and I say, Asta just vomited, but I can't find it. And I take another step and I step right in the middle of it.
Oh, no.
And it is a large load. It is a large load. Oh. I said, hey, Rick, wake him up from a dead sleep. Your dog just vomited in the floor.
Oh. And I just stepped in it.
And I just stepped in it. Yeah. So anyway, so they were fine the next day. But yeah, so I made him get up and clean that up. I said, I told you.
It's a great
you.
Story.
Well, I said, look, I told you not to let them. Oh, they're not going to vomit. Really? Because where's your nutritional certification? I don't know that you have that. Just, you know, come on, common sense. But anyway, so that was my vomit story. That was my vomit story. Yeah. But my thing about this is I don't freak out. If my dog was vomiting for a couple of days straight, right, just couldn't keep anything down, yeah, I'd be concerned. But I always think, look, if they're going to vomit or they're going to have diarrhea, And Neely says this all the time. They just got to get something out. Let them get it out. You don't want them holding it in. Let them get it out.
Yeah, it's actually a great defense mechanism. If they do eat something that's bad for them or doesn't agree with them and they can get it out of their stomach, like there might have been just something in that salmon skin that didn't agree with them or was too much of something new, or who knows? Both of their bodies evidently rejected it though. But yeah, and I would say, you know, if the dog is eating like everything they would normally eat and vomit it, then maybe it's okay for them to re-eat it. But in general, I'd say they're trying to get something out. There's a reason why they're vomiting. So probably re-eating it is not the best idea.
That's what I said. I said, this, you know, they don't eat that. They don't eat salmon skin, right? So they just don't. I mean, not everything, you know. Sometimes we use our dogs as garbage disposals. We're like, you know, they can just have anything. And my dogs are pretty clean eaters, right? So they're pretty, I don't know what was on that salmon skin. I mean, but anyway, that was my vomit story. We don't have a whole lot of time. And maybe the next podcast, we're going to talk about this premix. But I did want to bring up this one word that you guys want to be familiar with. When you look at a, let's say a box of cereal, and you see the word vitamin enriched and fortified, what do those statements mean to you? do they mean that it's really great? I just want to give you a visual. I want to give you a visual because on the next podcast, we're going to talk about premixes, and this leads right into premixes. But when you see this word vitamin enriched or fortified, it means that the food has vitamins sprayed all over it.
The secret sauce. And then they put secret flavoring in there too, to actually, so the dogs actually want to eat this stuff. Because why would they eat a bunch of processed carbohydrates with sprayed vitamins and minerals on them unless it tasted good? So they've figured out some magic formula for some special sauce that they can spray on there to also make it taste good, along with all the, you know, synthetic vitamins and minerals and whatever else they're spraying on.
Yeah, a premix is is a bag of vitamins and minerals that's added to the food. Okay, it's a bag, right? So they got a bag, probably, and they, you know, make into some sort of spray. Doesn't that sound good? And then they spray it all over this food. So when kibble food, or let's say it's maybe real food and it starts out as real food, but then it's heated and processed and extruded. Then they take this and they spray it with these vitamins and minerals so that they can pass the minimum AAFCO standards. Okay. But in this article that I was reading, I love this line. It says, by the time this process is done, there isn't much that separates the dollar store food from the expensive premium brands.
Mm-hmm. I so agree with that. I mean, if you look at the ingredient labels, you know, really they're not that different, you know, especially if you get one of the, you know, supposed prescription diets from the veterinarians that are not at all prescription. And you read those ingredients and then go grab a bag of, you know, your basic Purina from the grocery store. Yeah, they're not all that different. And when they're that highly processed, like kibble is processed at these extruded, these really, really high temperatures. Yeah, it's all pretty much broken down into the same stuff. And they have to spray the vitamins and minerals on because they've destroyed all the natural nutrition in it. So they, you know, it's like, you know, if you eat at McDonald's and you take a multivitamin and you call it good. Well, you know, how healthy are you going to be? And that's why pets are not healthy when they eat foods like that.
Well, I mean, first of all, pet parents stop reading it about the third ingredient because we can't even pronounce them. Acetate, palmitate, thiamine monotrate. I mean, thiamine hydrochloride. They're like, what?
Yeah. Don't feed your dogs things that you can't pronounce. Like when you read a label that says meat, bone, liver, kidney, spleen, you know what all those things are, right? Feed your dog that stuff.
Right, right. So we'll discuss premixes again in another podcast, maybe next week. But I did hear something, and I have not verified this yet. I'm hoping this is true, Dr. Jasek. I heard from one of my employees that AAFCO is now going to require that dog food manufacturers put on their labels the carb count and what type of carbs they are. That's what I heard.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, because they don't have any of that out there now.
No, they don't. And the other thing is I wish that they would do or require is that when they're putting the protein, how much protein is actually in kibble is what type of protein. Because if it's plant protein versus animal protein, big difference. I mean, there's a big difference all the way around, and they can throw out their, you know, fancy marketing and their talking points on why this kibble is good for your dog. But when it really comes down to it, if you asked, is it bioavailable and what are the amino acids that are coming from the animal protein and what amino acids does a dog actually need? I think that, you know, we can see that that's just not, that's not a species appropriate diet. Okay. What else? I mean, we say it every week. Say it every week.
Exactly. Yep. Be aware. And you know, the other thing is they can change these ingredients without changing the labels. I think they have like several months or something to update the label, but they can switch out the foods in different, you know, like categories. And, you know, they might say they're adding in a, you know, particular, you know, chemical or supplement. Well, they could get their vitamin E from a different place or whatever, or even if there is, say, some produce in there, they can swap out cauliflower for broccoli because it's, you know, it's similar enough. And there can be changes in the ingredients. I hear from people a lot that, well, I used to have fed this food for years and now all of a sudden, you know, something's going on. Well, it could be something going on with the dog, but it's also, there's no guarantee that it's the same ingredients from year to year. So it's real important to be aware that there's not full disclosure and labeling in any of these highly processed diets. That's why we recommend a whole food diet where you have half dozen ingredients, you know what's in there, no hidden flavors, colors, synthetic, anything. It's just real food, so you know what you're feeding your dog.
Yeah, kibble creates malnutrition in this article that I was reading. And Dr. Kavanaugh of Cornell University states, there's only one major disease, and that is malnutrition. It does. Yeah. So
probably a lot of truth in that statement.
Right, right. All right, everybody. So you want to get over to Dr. Jasek's site. A lot of people call me and say, well, I've called her. Well, you can't call her. She's busy. You have to fill out a form right there on the site. There's a form right there, right? To get a consultation with you either through a Zoom or phone, right?
Yep. Just go on and you can leave. We do have a phone. You can leave a voicemail if you like. You know, this helps keep our overhead costs down, you know, which makes it, you know, easier to pass those costs on to all the rest of you if you know, we can be as efficient as we can with the staff that we have. So we're trying to work towards that. So yeah, the most efficient thing to do is go online, fill out the form, and then submit that. And then we actually have an online calendar system that'll direct you to. So we're, you know, automating for efficiency. And but if you leave a voicemail and just absolutely want to call back, you can just put that on your voicemail and we will get back in touch with you.
Okay. So they can call you. See, I've been telling people, don't call, just fill out the appointment, right? Because I always think you get in line faster if you fill
it out. Because we're just going to tell you to go there and fill out the form anyway. So save yourself that step.
Right. Because, you know, you can't do that. Well, I just have one question, because one question leads to 2, 3, 4, and 5. And you have patience. You have patience. And I don't know, but Dr. Jasek, you are a professional. And, you know, professionals get paid for their time.
Most days. Yep. I try. I have my own professional moments, but
Yeah, we kind of keep those to ourselves. All right. So Dr. Jasek's website is ahavet.com. You spell her name J-A-S-E-K. J-A-S-E-K. Was it ever Jasek or always Jasek?
It was always Jasek, but it's been pronounced Jasek by many people over the years. But.
Yeah, right, right. Well, I have the Moffat. So, so many times it's pronounced Moffat, 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 or Moffat. Yeah.
I figured I could be called worse things. So
I Jasek. Have been called worse yeah. things. All right, everybody. Hey, listen, you want to get your dog on a species appropriate diet? Do it today. Do not wait. Do it today. And also remember this, I'm going to say it. I think you need to be holding, if you can, at least 2 months worth of food for your dog. I really do. We are seeing supply chain slowdowns. Also remember inflation is just every day. It's like, what else is going to go up? Right. So your dollars go further today than they will tomorrow. And duck is one thing that we're probably not going to have back in for a couple of months. But duck has gone sky high. But we still have lots of other proteins that you can feed your dog. We got beef, turkey, pork, chicken, goat, lamb, beef with tripe. Pork. So there are fish. There's a lot of things that you can feed. Anyway, go to our site, Raw Dog Food and Company. Also remember, on Thursday nights, we have Yappy Hour. Yappy Hour is your way to help you beat inflation. Yappy Hour starts at 6 p.m. every Thursday. That sale is from 6 p.m. to midnight. You can go on our site, hit the sale page. You're going to see everything's going to come up. All the sale items are there. So take advantage of that. Because here at Raw Dog Food and Company, your pet's health is our business, and friends don't let friends feed kibble. We will see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.